hello and welcome to DNF1 after what can only be described as a fantastic, if you're a Hamilton fan, British Grand Prix. And we're earlier today because I'm off, well, isolating because of COVID. So, it's not a 12 o'clock thing. Derek, let me come to you first. The first bend incident between Max and Hamilton. How did you see it?
How did I see it? Racing incident, full stop.
Racing incident,
first lap racing incident. Come on. If you're going off by the way they're talking now, everybody's just got to go around in a procession now around the first lap before they can start racing. One after each other. Nothing else. You're not allowed to get anywhere near a car. Can you imagine it when that time when Vettel decided he was going to go over the top of somebody? And, oh, it was a racing incident because it was the first lap. This one, they just happened to touch back wheels.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
what was Hamilton supposed to do? Drive off into the wall? Hamilton back off and let all his acceleration go.
Yeah.
All Verstappen had to do was just not take that. He turned left and then turned right again. He turned left once, a little bit, and then he swung his steering wheel back over because, you know, he expected Lewis to have gone, oh, I'm terribly sorry. Would you mind excusing me while I just crawl past you? You know, I'll fiddle off. Get a life.
To be fair, Hamilton got it up the inside, and if you haven't seen the race, Hamilton made a run on Max, and it was about turn five, whatever it was, going into the complex. Yeah. Hamilton got up the inside. He was pretty much in line, bar 5 to maybe 7 inches, I would have to say. His front wing was definitely in line with Max's front wing, and Max basically turned in on him, even though he had 3, maybe 4 car widths on the outside, as well as tarmac runoff area to go into, and
yes,
what would have been, let's be honest, Max could have just given Hamilton space on the first lap, and then into what would be lap 2, 3, 4, he could have overtaken him. Gareth, how would you see the incident?
I side with the stewards, thanks very much. I think, listen, Hamilton gave it a try. He wasn't alongside him, as he keeps telling everybody, that he was fully alongside him.
He was alongside bar 6 inches. I feel that's alongside.
No.
Technically, no. But he was never going to trouble the apex. He drifted out. And he done it, you know, listen, in the end of the race there, when he pulled the same move on Leclerc, he pulled out of that move. He'd done the right thing and actually backed out of it and then went for him. Whereas in that first one, in the heat of battle, yeah, they've gone for it. But yeah, I think the stewards have...
Hang on, just a minute, just wait a minute. You've got to remember that was the first lap, right? Normally, but like at the end there, they're all strung out in a long chain. So if you're getting up, you're only 2 cars involved in it. As was proven by what happened, Leclerc got past all of them and into the lead. So that was a racing incident as such. Yes, he was never going to be in front of Verstappen. He was behind him. Agree with you there. But what I'm saying is both of them were as much at fault. Yes, Verstappen had the line, but Lewis also had a line. But he was the car behind, and that's where he was. But what Lewis' mistake was, he didn't lift. He didn't lift.
And that's all he had to do.
Yeah, but if he'd have lifted, he would have gone back behind Leclerc.
Right.
And got to be racing.
He wouldn't have went that far back. He wouldn't have dropped that far back. They'd have made it through that corner, and then they could have battled it out on the straights.
But right. Then again...
Okay, I've muted the two of you because you're just arguing. Look, Lewis went into that bend, and Lewis put it up the inside. Max didn't give him space on the outside, and to a certain extent, it was 6.5 dozen. How the stewards called it is a 10-second penalty for Hamilton. I don't know. When we look at other examples of this type of racing, when we look at Austria and we look at what has happened with 5-second penalties for the previous guys, where they've run them off the track, Hamilton didn't run them off the track. Max had 3 car widths on the outside plus a tarmac runoff and could have went for that. And both of them just didn't want to give space, right? But bottom line is, the stewards gave a 10-second penalty. Gareth, first of all, do you agree with the 10-second penalty?
I think it's fair, because he did drift out.
He did, yeah. Yes, but he had the inside line. And likewise, he was going for a move. which, let's be honest, we complain when these drivers don't go for a move. So yeah, surely.
Absolutely. I think that, listen, the biggest thing is when it comes to these the decisions that are made by the stewards make the decision. We just have to go with it. We can argue about it all day long, but at the end of the day, the stewards make the decision. You know, it wasn't that long ago that when they were...
He's walked off. The man's left the building. He's gone. Derek, no, I will take
Derek,
that point.
He knows he's
I'll
losing, but yes, yes, Derek's jumped in,
no,
Gareth.
I'll
sorry,
take that
on
point
you go.
Up. I mean, to be honest, he's right. You know, no, it's a fair penalty. You know, it's a bit harsh on as such, but, you know, at the end of the day, he's won the race, so it doesn't matter. But what annoyed me, what annoyed me was the fact that Christian Horner... Michael, did you happen to notice that Lewis did that on purpose? Not mentioning that our driver turned into him. No. And oh, we need the engineer to chat as well. Engineer Michael, I think that's disgusting. It's terrible. You can't do that. It's not allowed. Hello, it's
no,
not
it's,
weird.
It's not-
have you read my email I've sent you? I've sent you an email, Michael, I don't read emails during the race. They might distract me. Oh, right. I've got a bit of paper here. I'm coming down. I'm going via the toilet first. But I'll be there with you in a minute.
Right, okay. So
that was Toto that was doing all that nonsense.
Right. So basically, we've got Horner on the radio saying, look, that was terrible and he could have got injured. And I think it says on the ticket that if you're in Formula One, let alone any motorsport, the chances that you could be injured driving is quite high, and even death, right? So Lewis goes up the inside of Max, and all of a sudden, Max could have died into that bend. I don't think that's the case. He was injured, but it's because Max didn't have lift on the way into the bend. But let's be honest, the stewards gave a 10-second penalty. Whether that penalty is right or wrong, they gave him it. Lewis was provided with a 10-second penalty and went on and won the race. Now, Gareth, first of all, Lewis has been given the penalty, so we have to turn around and see it's like a foul in football. He's been given the penalty, harshly or either-wise. It doesn't matter what the view on it is. But the race thereafter, Hamilton had a 10-second penalty, went on and won the race. Have you got to give him credit for winning the race, even though they had the 10-second penalty?
Absolutely. And it's the one thing that we spoke about yesterday, and we said that Hamilton has always got that win sitting in there.
Yeah, that's true.
You would never, it didn't matter whether that was a 10-second penalty, stop and go, you would not take him off the table for a win.
And
he done well, he came back.
I'll say one thing, right? If it had been the other way around, if it had been totally the other way around, and it'd have been Max that took Hamilton out, and Max was given the 10-second penalty, I'll guarantee you he wouldn't have got back past and he wouldn't have got to the front.
Ooh, Derek, that's quite a...
No, that's right. That's because, as I always say, Max and Red Bull are apt to lose it rather than looking to win it. Do you know what I mean? If they may make a mistake or something, you know, they get something against them, they take the pram home and there are half a team's packed up and gone home before the end of the race, you know? And if you're talking about sour grapes, about sour grapes, hang on, Red Bull, quickly, let's send Perez out. Let's take his chance of getting any points for us today. Let's send him out and take that one point away from Mercedes by giving Perez the fastest lap. Oh, he doesn't get the point because he's not in the top 10. But he's still got the fastest lap, but he doesn't get the trophy for getting the fastest lap, and he doesn't get the point for getting the fastest lap because he wasn't in the top 10. But we'll still do that. We'll take him any chance of him getting a top 10 position, which he was in 11th when they brought him back in again. And then after that, Raikkonen spun off. So there was that's cheating if you want to know cheating.
Right.
It's a team sport, though, and that's him going for that point.
Well, true.
But they didn't get the point.
He was outside the top 10. He was outside the top 10. Right, so...
He was outside the top 10.
Guys, so this particular result in the championship, we've spoke about it only being one DNF away from Max maybe losing the championship or are falling back into the grips of what is the Mercedes machine. So now we're looking at a situation where Max has fallen back to just 8 points off of Hamilton in the Drivers' Championship, Norris in 113, Bottas in 108, and then when we look at the constructors, it's 2,000... It's 2,000? If it was only 2,000...
It's 2021. Yes, you're correct there. That's the year.
It's 289 points to Red Bull, and it's Mercedes on 285. Now, regardless of how you feel about today's result, either way, from a championship point of view, surely this opens up a whole host of possibilities. We're going to Hungary next before the mid-season break. Depending on how Mercedes play Hungary, which we know they're strong at, and if Hamilton bumps Max off and Max starts crying and all the rest of it, this has got to be good for the championship. Derek, you first.
Yes. Yep. You don't want me to say any more than that. Told me to keep them short and sweet.
That's it.
It's going to be brilliant.
Yep.
Hey, it's good for the championship. Gareth. It'll make it interesting.
Absolutely. Listen, this is what we want. We wanted, you know, teams to be running close. We want drivers to be running close. This, where we've had seasons where you had a driver that was sitting, you know, how many years have we had Hamilton just runs away with it, and everybody else is just kind of there for picking up the crumbs afterwards. So listen, the closer it is, the better.
And the last time we saw a championship being this close during the mid-season was probably when Hamilton was up against Massa in 2008 and even 2007. But out with that, this is the championship we want. We want Needle. We want the team managers on the radio to Mike Massey going, Mike, if we send you a wee bouquet with some chocolates and stuff, will you rule in our favour? And it did really sound like these two sort of like team managers, because we had Toto Wolff on the phone going, I've sent you an email. And it's got this, that, and the next thing. And Massey was like, yeah, I don't really check my email during the middle of a race. I'm no in there checking what vouchers I've received for Red Bubble to see if I can get 10% off a T-shirt. But to be honest, if you come up to the thing, we'll talk to you. And this is what we want. This is what we've been waiting all season to actually happen. We've waited on Hamilton or Max to make what I think is a genuine mistake. I don't think the incident was a case of malicious. It wasn't Michael Schumacher on Damon Hill in Adelaide. It was in no way, shape or form somebody intentionally taking somebody out. This was a case of the two guys went into the one bend, Hamilton on the inside, Max on the outside. None of them wanted to give space. And unfortunately, they made contact. It did look way more spectacular on the actual TV, and it looks like there's a lot of expensive repairs to the Red Bull car. But the bottom line is, this is what we want to see as fans, and we want to see this kind of closeness in the championship. Derek, how do you see us going to Hungary? Do you think this is going to be a sticking point? Do you think this is going to be Max going, well, you know what? I'm going to be angry at the next race. Or do you think it's going to be a case of it was a recent incident and we'll move on? How do you think Max is going to handle this?
In the words of Murray Walker, it's happened already. Yeah, you know, they've taken each other off. Oh, my God. How good. Yes, I can see Max at the next race going, oh, dear, I've actually tapped the back of Hamilton's car and he's spun round and he's gone off. You know, I can see that sort of thing happening because that's the sort of impetuous, temperous young gun that he is, because he hasn't matured yet. He's working on it, but he's still got a hot head. And Gareth, he'll come back angry from this. Yeah.
Gareth, do you think that's the case? Do you think Max is going to be like, you know what? I'm in my first World Championship race here, or my first championship challenge, and I'm starting to learn things about Lewis Hamilton that I didn't think was the case before.
Yeah, I think, listen, he's got a steep learning curve.
Yeah,
but and having said that, he has come back this year, and I think you spoke about it before. Max has come back with a different approach to his driving.
Not today, though.
In previous seasons, we'll leave that one at the side there. But he has come back, and he's approached it differently. And I think he's when you look at the after kind of Baku when the tire just blew. He came back the following week and he kind of put that behind him. I'm just hoping that the team don't keep this running, So a lot of the stuff that we heard, we didn't hear a lot for the drivers, but a lot of what we heard there, all the complaining and moaning, was all from the team principals. I think as long as they kind of put that to bed, just let the drivers get back on that again.
Yeah.
So hopefully when they come back to Hungary, it's a case of, do you know what? It's done, it's dusted. And he accepts the fact that actually, do you know what? Hamilton got a penalty, but he's still won the race. That's what it is.
Yeah, because that's what
Christian Horner's not going to let it go. Horner is not going to let it go. He's jumping up and down and spitting his dummy out, and he's talking to anybody that he can get his hands on, and he's moaning and saying he should know better. I mean, I said to you at the beginning of this, he went on Sky TV and said, Lewis is an 8 times world champion. He should know better. Well, he's only a 7 times world champion, unless he knows something that we don't know about the rest of the season.
So all we can do, though, all we can say is we hope that Max comes back, he screws the nut, and he gets back on with the racing again. We said it a couple of weeks ago that what we were looking for is for these guys to do the racing on the track, not in the pits, not through politics, just do it where you're driving.
That's exactly it, Gareth. I think when it comes down to it, regardless of whether you're a Max fan, you're a Hamilton fan, however you want to look at this result, this is racing. And to be honest, I mean, if it was any other form of the sport apart from the open wheel, that incident going into that bend would not have affected the outcome of the race, because the bodywork would have protected the wheels and the cars would have continued through and we wouldn't be having this discussion. But because it's open wheel racing, there is obviously going to be contact and these types of things. As far as I'm concerned, I looked at it and I think recent incident was part of the reason that quite a few of the commentators and people had said it's a recent incident, because it's so difficult to call either way. Max had the opportunity to run slightly wide, and to be honest, if he kept his foot in, there's tarmac on the outside of that bend, he could have got Lewis down to the next set where we're going to Maggots and Beckett's and Hanger Street. He could have kept his boot in and we'd be going, oh, well, Max maybe should have given the position up. Even if he did, common sense tells you that Max, over the space of a 52-lap race round Silverstone, with probably somewhere in the region between half a second and maybe 7/10 of a second of... I posted what I'm looking for. With that benefit, he would have overtaken Hamilton at some point. It was racing to the first lap, and to be honest, I loved it. I thought this race was what we needed.
Oh.
This was a shot in the arm for Formula One, and although we had the sprint made little or no difference. When we went into this race, it was Lewis and Max, and we got what we wanted, and the championship is now so close that as we go into the mid-season break, it's anybody's, absolutely anybody's.
Derek, reset again.
Yeah.
All I was going to say about that is that Max needed that bit of maturity that he's still lacking for him to realise that he could have backed out there instead of thinking I've got to stay where I am. If he'd have just let it a little bit, if he'd have just given a little bit and let Hamilton do what he was doing, he'd have got him on the next corner, the corner after. But he didn't. He stuck in at it, and he was hoping he'd come out the other side okay, and it would be Hamilton that was the one that came out bad from it.
Gareth,
you know what I mean? And
Gareth, would you agree with that? Do you think Max should have given up the bend in lap one? I mean, let's be honest. Hamilton was up the inside, not fully, but if you're anybody driving these types of cars, you've got to think, I've got a faster car. I'll let him take me on lap one. I've got 51 laps to get past him. We've got the fastest pit stops in the grid. Why not just give up the one bend to then get him into the rest of the race?
Hindsight is a great thing. And I think Max is probably sitting now thinking, maybe I should have just let him go.
Definitely. As he sits in hospital.
But you know, it's difficult.
With an earth on each cheek.
When you look at, any of these drivers will go into a corner at some point, whether they've, Kimi Räikkönen that's been doing it for God knows how long versus, young Tony that's just joined us, they're all going to make a mistake at some point and just take their chances. Very few of them will lift, and that's the biggest problem. They've got that mentality that there's a corner coming up, there's a car beside them, very few of them will break to let that car through. They will just
let's play chicken.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, this was a high stakes version of chicken, and whoever gave away that Ben first, and I think I've got to take my hats off to both of them because none of them blinked. And okay, Max wound up worse in this case, but as I mentioned in the chat when we were watching this, how different is this to Barcelona, where Max sent it up the inside and Hamilton went, you know what, I'll let you have the bend. I'll let you have this first bend because I have got umpteen laps to beat you because we've got the pace. And I think if Max had done the exact same thing, Max would have won this race and we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. It's great for us as fans, and I love the race because the chat was brilliant. And I think that we're going to have, from now on, we're going to have a better championship because Max isn't going to give Lewis any space and Lewis isn't going to give him any space. And going forward, there's going to be that bit of needle. This is the Prost-Senna typey season that we wanted. Because up to the now, it was all kittens and cotton wool and everybody was pals with each other. But now we've got a bit of needle. Hamilton's put Max in the hospital. He's put Max in the hospital on this. How does that play out the rest of the season, Derek?
Oh, war of the roses. War of the Austrians and the Germans. Maybe not. We can't go into that one. That's a bit politically sensitive. But it's going to go that way. It's going to go that way, you know. And it's not good. And I think it's going to be exciting for us as fans, and we'll see things going off and coming and going and all the rest of it. So watch this space, you know. I tell you what, it's a fantastic thing that we're doing a podcast because we can't show the people on here the transcript of our conversation between us during the race. You know, I mean, if we were to put the transcript on a podcast, it would look really good, you know. But you know what I'm saying? You know, that is what it's all about. I mean, last night, the after our podcast, we were out driving, and I have my phone connected to the car, and somebody was sending some lovely texts through, and the wife sat there going, "What's that one say then?" You know, right. Just a warning, you know, that other people do watch our conversations as we're driving. Right, carry on. You can cut that bit out.
I do have to say that the chat during this particular race was what kept me watching. My notes for the race normally are a full A4 sheet of notes. And all I have for this race is first lap incident, red flag. And then the other thing I have is Bottas, Hamilton is faster than you on lap 50, whatever. And that's it. The rest of the time I was texting you guys because it was so funny. It was entertaining. And as a race, let's be honest, if we take out the fact that, let's see, the 10-second penalty, fair enough, Hamilton's taking the penalty. Off he goes. But the race, you're then looking at Ferrari and Leclerc, possibly a win. Norris could come up and take it if they can't get into place. And to be honest, for 90% of the race, we had that whole, will Lewis catch Leclerc and the Ferrari? Where did the Ferrari performance come from? We've got Lando Norris waiting in the wings to take another podium position. We've got Daniel Ricciardo's keeping him in close check by about 20 seconds, but we'll give you fifth, Daniel. It's a good result for you. We've got Carlos Sainz in sixth coming through for the back. Fernando Alonso getting good points for Alpine. Aston Martin, Lance Stroll in eighth. Esteban Ocon in ninth. We've got Tony Sunda, 10th, picking up another point. Gasly, I don't know what he was up to. George Russell, still missing it in points in 12th, starting in 8th. What were you up to, George? You had your chance. Giovinazzi in 13th. We've got Nicholas Latifi in 14th. Kimi Raikkonen, who had a couple of spins, but still finished in 15th. Sergio Perez, I don't know what Sergio was up to. He's starting in what is effectively the fastest car on the grid, in 10th, comes through to, 16th. I mean, Sergio, we need you at the front. We need you to actually perform, and he done absolutely.
He did as he was told. He was a team player. Please come in and get some new tyres on and take the fastest lap. That's why he ended up back there. They took him in on 3 laps to go. They brought him in just to get the fastest lap, and that's the whole thing of that. that's them play, you know. Load of rubbish. That was.
Derek.
Wait there. I've got to go to the quote. Derek, load of rubbish. That is a load of rubbish.
Aye, load of rubbish.
Sergio Perez in 16th, a lap down, just in front of Nikita Mazepin. That just goes to show Red Bull screwed the pooch on this one. Mick Schumacher, Sebastian Vettel, and Max DNFs. I loved the race. I loved the chat, guys. And to be honest, I think it was probably the best race of the season. We had a lot of potential in here.
Yes.
And it's closed up the championship to the point that I'm like excited to see Hungary just before the end of the season. Who can pull it out of the bag? Can Hamilton and Max go into the first bend together without actually handbags? I mean, what's going to happen? Gareth?
I hope we get nice, clean, tight racing.
Sorry, don't mean to laugh. It's not going to. It's going to be handbags at 15 paces. That's what it's going to be.
Listen, this no, because I think when you look at it, the championship comes into this now. Max is very well maybe going to go away, have a think about what's happened today, have a bit of review of it. Yeah, okay, maybe he realises that he could have backed out. But I'm hoping that when they come back, actually, as I said earlier, that he screwed the nut and they actually go out there and they race, because this is for the championship. This isn't just Max playing, you know, silly buggers in the background. He's got to try. He's got to screw that up. If he wants to get this championship, it's there for him. As you keep saying, Derek, it's there for them to lose. But he's got...
And they're doing a sterling job of that.
Look, the thing is...
But he's still sitting in the lead at the moment, coming up to the midway of the season. Oh, yeah. So it's all to play for.
Two sayings. Right. We've got to look at it in this in perspective. Mercedes have lost the last five races. Red Bull have won the last five. Max has taken the last four and Perez has taken one of them. But still, the difference in the championship is 8 points if you want to look at the Drivers' Championship and 4 points if you want to look at the Constructors. Surely Red Bull feel like they've actually ran a lot of ground in comparison to Mercedes on this. Derek, going into the mid-season break after Hungary, who do you think is going to be thinking this championship is still ours to win? Is it going to be a Mercedes championship or is it going to be a Red Bull championship?
Look, Mercedes are on the back foot and they're coming forward. Red Bull are in the lead. It's theirs to lose. It is this year, 2021, is Red Bull's championship year, no doubt. But Mercedes are already looking. Even Lewis is already looking to next year, right? They're already saying, you know, we probably won't win this year. If they're saying we probably won't win this year, you know, that means it's Red Bull's for the taking. They can have it wrapped up with a gold grifted blooming ribbon. You know what I mean? Gold glitter ribbon, all already sat there. There's the trophy, it's yours. Oh, you're dropping the ball again. Right, well, we'll take it if you don't want it. Yeah. And Mercedes will take it if they don't want it.
That is very true.
We're not even halfway yet. We're not even halfway point yet. Gareth, unless a lot of races get cancelled.
Yeah. Gareth, going into the Hungary race, which is 2 weeks away on the 30th to the 1st of August in Budapest, just before the mid-season break, Merck always come back stronger on the Mercedes on the mid-season. They always come back stronger. It's like Hamilton goes away and gets some sort of zen thing into his body and Merck come back with a couple of upgrades. We've seen that Mercedes have actually adjusted the car. The car seems to have a bit of rake on it. They've brought some upgrades this weekend and Red Bull were competitive. They were in there. And I think without this incident on track, Red Bull probably would have taken the win. And if Perez hadn't screwed up yesterday, he would have had a wingman. But as it stands, we've got to turn around and say, is this still Red Bull's season to lose?
As it stands at the moment, yeah, it has to be. I think my biggest thing is you look at the likes of... So Mercedes have had a grip on, you know, the drivers and manufacturers' championship for so many years. They are so well-versed in how to do all this stuff. It doesn't matter that Red Bull have had it in the past. They've had a lot of changes to their team because they keep changing their second driver.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, maybe...
And they're pulling in all the Mercedes mechanics and strategists and everything like that, that Red Bull are pulling all them in over the summer.
To be fair, though, Derek...
You need stability.
You need stability within the team, but there's quite a few... It seems like Formula One is one of these sort of things where all the teams are just putting the keys into the fishbowl, and whoever pulls out the key goes to that team, because everybody is just mixing and matching, and it depends what they're being paid, etc. We've spoken about even Alfa Romeo and Aston Martin. I've got people coming in from the Mercedes and Red Bull and vice versa and stuff. It's not just a shamash. Maybe 20 or 40 engineers that really know what they're doing, going place to place, depending on what they're actually being paid. How that pans out in the long run, I don't know. I mean, 2022 is going to be the big equaliser. That's what we hope. But this season so far, we're looking at a mid-season break coming up. The teams are barely, you could get a fag paper in between the two teams. Let's be honest, 8 points, 4 points is absolutely hee-haw if you count in a sprint race that picks up 3 points.
And we're literally coming back after the mid-season break to a new season.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Keeping in mind that these teams are also under the restrictions of aero packages being adjusted, etc., etc. They are limited by how many times they can run in the wind tunnel, how many times they can do CFD. And at the mid-season break, that will be reset for the teams as well. We've got budget caps. How much is that Red Bull going to be to fix? We know that the Mercedes was going to cost nearly 2 million euros to be repaired. How much is the Red Bull going to cost to actually be fixed? None of the...
I reckon that. That's just gone in a wheelbarrow somewhere. They're not fixing that.
I believe they've got some Red Bull cans that they can... recycle and use for spare parts, you know, so, you know.
What I did find the most funny point of today's race was that when the Red Bull and the engineers and other estate turned up at Max's car at the side of the road, they were like, no, you touch it first. No, you touch it first. Because the wee red light was on top saying, this car is dangerous. I'm going to electrocute any oomph that wants to touch me anytime you want. I am an angry car. I am going to electrocute you. And they were like, no, we'll just leave it. That's why the red flag lasted for 20 minutes. It was brilliant. They're all standing around going, no.
I didn't bring my marigolds. No, I'm not sticking my hand in it.
But it just goes to show the power involved in these cars between the battery and the engine, et cetera, nobody wants to touch the car if the electricity supply is live to the rest of the car.
Do you know, the race was brilliant. Really enjoyed it. I say that the banter that we had on our chat was brilliant and probably helped make the race.
Yep.
When you watch the race, though, I still kind of watched it, and I still feel, you know, as much as we've spoken about Bottas quite a bit and his lack of ability to do anything, but again, we've got another race where Bottas literally been told
Hamilton is quicker than you. Yeah,
yes.
Bottas, get that out of the way, because you're holding Hamilton up. And to be fair, that decision, Gareth, meant that Hamilton won the race, because if Bottas had held him up or decided to hold him up for a couple of seconds, we wouldn't be looking at the Hamilton victory. And when it comes down to it, the points difference in these guys now is so close that it gives us the championship. This is what we needed. We needed this.
They're kind of saying to Bottas, you know, but we're not even at the mid-season, and he's already getting, this is a team order. Do not fight Hamilton.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
you've lost your job. Do not fight him, or else we'll come out there and stick a big stick through your wheels. You know, I mean,
I'm like, was it two or three races ago when you got told the same thing, and he went, no, not a chance. If he wants past, he can race me.
Yeah. Gareth, so obviously Hamilton's sort of persona is normally cool, calm and collected. How do you feel he's playing it this year in comparison to years in the past under championship pressure?
So I've oddly enough, I've always been a bit of a Hamilton fan, I suppose. And he's always done well. I feel that this year he's come under a bit of pressure. He's not walking away with the championship. He's finding that somebody else has got a car that can actually challenge him. And he's been a Moni princess.
A Moni princess. Is that in the dictionary? Can I look that up?
A Moni princess. I'm sure it is. I think just his general demeanour has been a bit... In the car. I think when he's at the car, he's very calm and considered in his approach to things.
He's also,
but I think
quite...
when you hear some of the messages, and we've seen it once before when he was having the championship fight with Rosberg.
Yeah, he gets flustered.
He had that same change in his demeanour. He became slightly different. And I find it quite strange when you've got somebody that, as I said earlier, you know, he can drive the wheels off at any given a shopping trolley. He could probably drive that quite happily,
yeah.
Even one with a wonky wheel. But the minute he comes under pressure from another car that does have, you know, a bit of pace and a good enough driver in it, he does seem to kind of buckle a wee bit, and it seems quite odd.
Derek, I'll come to you on this one. Derek, as a Hamilton, let's be honest, fanboy, would you say that Hamilton is crumbling under the pressure? Or today's result, let's be honest, today's result sends out a message in turn. Okay, he punted Max off, rightly or wrongly, got the 10-second penalty, knuckled down, came through, won the race, took the points, brings the World Championship so close that, as I said, we can barely get a fag peeper between first and second. Is Hamilton a bit of a princess or not?
Well, yes and no, because I think that Verstappen, right,
is a bit of a princess.
Has an attitude problem, right, from day one. I am God, you know, and I am going to take this world championship and it is mine, right? And Hamilton's got a problem with somebody else being God because he is God, right? So there is a problem there.
Right. I am God, son. You can't be... No. There can't be two gods.
No. So, and Hamilton proved this today by sending Verstappen, flicking his little finger, and he flicked him off the side of the track, and he bounced off the wall a couple of times. And I'll be perfectly honest with everybody here. I absolutely cheered when it happened. I thought, brilliant, he's knocked him, got him out of the way. And 2 seconds before he hit that wall, I thought, oh, my God, this is serious. I better stop cheering, right? Because he could end up being really, really serious, and I feel bad that I felt that. But, right, other than that, yes, I think Lewis has come with a different attitude this year, but I think it's because he knew his car had been kneecapped by the FIA and Christian Horner going, Michael, do you mind if we change the format of the cars? Because I don't like it. And I want you to cut out that bit of the floor on that Mercedes because, it does do us a pain. Look, Adrian over here has told us. Adrian has told us that little bit of wing, if you get that cut off for us, we'll do a lot better. It'll make it much better for the punters. Look, I'm sorry. That is how it goes. And it's just, get on with it. Let's go for it now. They know now. They've put the bit of rake on, as you've said. Put a bit of rake on. They're going to go for it now. Come into the mid-season. As you always say, they come back fighting well from a mid-season break. Let's go for it. Let's open this up and go for it.
Let me ask you the question. How do you think Max is going to spin this to the press? Because he has developed a maturity over this season. Do you think when he comes back, he's going to go, look, it was a recent incident, et cetera, et cetera. Then he'll go in there and put it wheel-to-wheel with Hamilton at the very next race. Or do you think this is going to be a case of Hamilton sending the message, by the way, you're on my track, it's my world championship. If you want it, you're going to have to come wheel-to-wheel with me. And even if we go wheel-to-wheel, I will put you off the road if that's what it takes. Do you think that's how it is for Max?
I think Max will come back and go, and you wait till we get to Holland. I'll have all my orange mates there. The Orange Order will be there and we'll get them.
Whoa. Can I see Orange Order, Derek? That's not something we can put on there. I know what you mean, but you can't say that.
Okay, sorry, I apologise for my slip there. I do, you know.
He's being, orange being compatriots in Holland, yes. I know what you mean. Yep.
Yeah, the Dutch lemons. The Dutch lemons, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be there to support him, all right.
Gareth, coming to you, obviously, we had two weekends in Austria there where Max had what was only described as, Derek said there, the Orange Order, but that's not what we mean. We mean the Orange Max Army. Verstappen fans. No, Derek, you can't say Army on that one. Let's just move on. Let's just see the orange fans of Max Verstappen. And then we come to Silverstone and we get this wave of British fans. We had 386,000 British fans cheering on Lewis Hamilton. Do you think that played into his victory this weekend, Gareth?
Probably. Do you know the other thing? It's the first time since COVID started.
Yeah.
Yeah. That they've had a full attendance at a track. And I think coming to a track where they have just named part of that track the Hamilton Straight, I think he'd have felt a bit of a douche if he hadn't won. So, yeah, I think there was a certain level of motivation to win, just to justify, even if it is just to justify the fact that they have named part of the track after him. It's a bit disappointing if they name the track after you and then you don't win. So, yes.
To be fair, Gareth, they're going to have to name that bend Max went off now. So I don't know what's going to happen. Look, the next race is in 2 weeks' time. We're off to Hungary, to Budapest, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Budapest, etc. It will be the last.
If you watch Black Widow, you know how to pronounce it.
If you watch Marvel, yeah, you're fine. Look, it's only round 11. It's only round 11 of what is a 23 race championship, and we're now down to 8 points and 4 points. I am a happy bunny. The race today, regardless of the result, however you want to look at it, was brilliant for the world championship. And we go into the mid-season break after this race, and who knows what's going to happen when we come back. But the next race is going to be a big one. And you know that turn one, if it's Max and Lewis off the line in Hungary, it's going to be, oh, is this going to be Silverstone again? Etc, etc. I can't wait.
A little part of me actually wishes we were doing a sprint race again.
In Hungary?
But Hungary.
I don't know. I think that format still needs a wee bit of work. But yeah, I know what you mean. But likewise, we need to get to a point where the racing is as good as the sprint races, really. But yeah. Right, well, folks, that's pretty much it. If you don't know how the rest of the race was, watch it on Sky or something. The bottom line is it was all about Max and Lewis into that bend, and it was a great race. It's well worth watching. Join us in what will be 2 weeks' time with, who knows, depending on who's actually free at the weekend. We'll have Paul, we'll have Derek, we'll have Gareth and myself. Join us then. So all I can say is it's goodbye for me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe. Watch out for the flute band that will be arriving in Holland anytime now to play us a wonderful tune for us there when we have maybe a sprint race in Holland. That might be worth it going. Anyway, take care. Stay safe. See you in Hungary. And we'll be in Budapest, whatever you want to call it. Take care. Bye-bye. Take care. We're out of here. We've gone. We've left.
Other flute bands are available. This was a Beardy Cap production for DNF1.